If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Sin, addiction, failure, it's all gone. You have a fresh start. The old you is dead and gone. The new has come. You see, God brought me out of the bondage of sin and death into the kingdom of life. This is the good news, that Jesus died for you and me. So woe unto me if I do not preach this gospel.
Hey you! I'd like to specially welcome you to this episode of Salt with Anne. Thank you for coming back, and if this is your first time, it's nice to have you. My name is Anna Ofsayo, and I bring you good tidings and light in the form of powerful, relatable, and insightful salvation stories. Today, I have with me a very special guest. I know all my guests are special, but this lady holds a place in my heart. I've known her since high school, and I can say that she's one of those people that God places in your life, and you have no idea why. Until a few years later, when they start to unravel their purpose in your life. I've watched her grow from quite an interesting young lady to an admirable woman who is currently giving mental health a voice in our society. So without further ado, let's welcome the founder of the Unveil Mental Health Awareness Foundation in the person of Amaka Asiegunam.
Hi everyone.
Yeah. So very quickly, I have a lot of things to ask you, but I'm just going to be led by the Holy Spirit today.
Okay.
Now I know you're born again. I've known you over the years, and I've known you before you became born again. I remember one time while you were not saved. I was already saved by that time. So I was scrolling through your Instagram one time, and then I just see you and how you have misbehaving all over the internet. I'm like, what's wrong with this girl? And everything. And then all of a sudden I realized that, oh, you had withdrawn a little bit, and then you just come back, and then you're posting about Jesus Christ, and apparently you were changed. And I remember being so happy. I'm like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Like, I was so happy for your life and what God did to you, how God transformed you and everything. So just take us through the phases that you've been through before you became born again. Tell us about your life before you encountered Christ.
Well, to be honest, my life was very funny, because I don't think I had a lot of people have a point where they're like, oh, I was doing this and I was doing that, and at this point I just realized that I need to be born again.
Yeah.
Personally, I didn't have that. For me, I think it goes way down to childhood. First, I come from a Catholic family, so as you can guess, my family is very religious.
Yeah.
So I was brought up with the Catholic doctrine. I went for catechism. I received my first Holy Communion, everything. To be honest, I was just that perfect child. Like, I was a child that I was going to school. I was having good grades. I didn't used to disobey anybody. I was I was easy to raise as a child. But the truth is, for me, I think my mental battles was what really made me, like, realize that I needed Jesus, because I stood behind the windows of perfection to struggle. There are so many times for me where I was very suicidal. When I was 10 was the first time I tried to kill myself, and this was just because I was done. Like, at that point I realized that, you know what, I'm just done, I'm not doing it again. I noticed I started to slip into depression, maybe even before I knew I was already slipping into depression, because not until a few days ago I was talking to someone that I was having imposter syndrome and personality disorders even as a child, that I would see myself like escape my body. And I never spoke to anyone about this, because, I mean, of course, you're a perfect child. Yeah. So it was hard for me to be myself. And then I struggled with self-esteem a lot as a child, because I come from a family of four. Then we were just three, like, siblings. And my younger sister, like, oh, my sister was very organized. My sister was very pretty, you know. There are so many times that, like, people would compare me to my sister. And I think she can also say the same thing too, because people are people. Yeah. And sometimes that used to make me feel like I wasn't good enough. So there are times when I wasn't the most organized person. I was very carefree about life. So many times that thing used to smack me in the face because people would come and compare me. And little as it is, you don't know what those words do to children. Yeah. And growing up in an African home, very traditional, I had a lot of interference with extended family, which I'm very unapologetic to say that it really messed up my life a lot. Yeah. Because there are times when there are things that we were exposed to before we were exposed to them, which I feel like I talk about it a lot because I stand for mental health, and you'd be a lie for me not to talk about these things as a problem. Yeah. So growing up, we're exposed to a lot of things, you know. Extended family will shove a lot of things in your face, maybe nuclear family not so much, but there are a lot that could have been done better with the absence of the extended family. So I grew up in that shadow, and till when I became a teenager, I think about my SS2, SS3, I started to take up a whole lot of responsibility. So as the responsibility got more, I'm the first child. So many times I had to be the parents of my parents and parents of my siblings. You know, sometimes my mom, my parents would call me and they expect that I have a solution to things. Maybe because I, quote unquote, I was wise. Maybe I was doing well. But the bad thing about this thing is, it's just the face they see. They don't know what is going on inside. So I was struggling with myself. Wrestling with myself, I started to look for strength in something that wasn't God. So I started to date people. In fact, I got so exposed to dating at a very young age. My very first run into a relationship to provide or shelter me was as far back as SS1, I think. And then I started to date. I dated this guy that I did not even meet. He was just over the phone. Like, I just enjoyed him talking to me so much that I didn't even have to see him. Even when I saw the guy and he was not good looking at all, I still just stayed in that relationship because that was my source of, like, that was what I would run to. Then I started to become very competitive in school. If I don't come first, among the first four, I almost kill myself. For me, while it is good, for a lot of people say that is competitive, for me it was a toxic habit because there are so many times that if I don't get what I want, I'll almost like kill myself for not doing it because I don't want to think. I just want to imagine that my life is perfect. Yeah. So I dated again in my SS3. I dated someone. And while I was in that relationship, somehow, because, I mean, I don't know what I had, what was so special about me, but everybody I was in a relationship with would fall in love with me helplessly. So this guy had was like, he changed completely, his life transformed. And then I dated another person again when I got to, and because I wasn't in those relationships for the right reasons, I was going to run out of them the way I was getting into them. So I dated this guy. Funny enough, a lot of people date people for, you know, different things, attention. I wasn't sleeping with these people. I wasn't as much as even kissing them or anything to say. I just wanted the, like, it was so weird. I don't know. I feel like my life was just funny. I just wanted to know that somebody loved me. Yeah, like, I just wanted to feel that love for some reason. So I decided to, you know, go on. When I entered uni, I met this guy. I started dating him again. So I broke up with that one. I started dating another one in uni. He was into substance abuse, drug abuse. I was too moralistic to fall into that. So I started dating this guy. And before you know it, like, things got serious. I noticed that he wasn't doing well in school. And because I had the perfection syndrome, I started to want him to be better. I started helping him in school, drawing up timetables for him. And gradually, I didn't know that that was just me, like, struggling, like so many females. I think a lot of people would be able to relate to this one because I was just struggling. My results came out and I fell from a 4.0 to a 3.6. My grades dropped in school. I was just drastically withdrawn. I had to end that relationship with tears. He dragged me out of the relationship. And then it didn't stop there. I dated another person. Got into another very toxic relationship, which I even consider my first actual relationship because that relationship lasted for 2 years. Wow. And he was in as much need as I was in because, I mean, we were two people that didn't even know what we were doing. So we're just in a relationship, clueless, everything. When I broke up with him, I think that was the height of depression. I fell into a very bad depression. I would not come out of my room. I would spend nights crying, it wasn't just the heartbreak. It was the fact that I, for the first time in my life, I was confronted with something that I was hiding from. For the first time, I wasn't dating anybody. It was just me. But I was like, I was naked, like I was on my own by myself. I was disgusted by myself, kind of person I had become. And it was just so hard because, I mean, I started to think different options. I remember telling him that if you leave me, I would die. That was what I said to him. And I said, like I said in my chest, I was like, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to die. That was what I said. And so many times,
so he left you, he didn't walk out of it.
Well, he cheated. So to be fair, I won't even blame him because I cheated as well. Because like when that happened, because I wanted to be in the relationship, I was like, let me go and cheat my own so it'll be equal. And then,
wow,
you know, continue with the relationship. That happened. Then when I left him, when we broke up, I met this guy, which was my breaking point, who had a mental illness. And right now, I can't say he had. I don't know where he is. I don't know. I was very much drawn to toxic people. In fact, I was dating a lot of toxic guys because I'll see good guys come to me, but I don't want them. It was the ones that had problems that I wanted. I don't want any guy that was doing good in school, grades. I don't want that. I wanted, like, I used to hide behind bad boys, but even me myself, I knew that it wasn't the bad, it was the toxic. It was the ones that had the problems that I had.
Yeah.
So I dated this guy and he got back from the UK. He's 27. He was around 27. So he had like midlife crisis going on with him. His mom was absent. We used to do a lot of stupid things together. Like we were both lovers of art, but you know, some art that is not very, because I used to write. So we used to like talk about, you know, he used to do yoga, meditation. So he sort of dragged me into all those things. I said, like, it was exciting because it was new.
Yeah.
And then he would burn, like, incense. What are those things called? All those
incense.
He would burn it in his room. I would just be there while he's doing all those things. He had, I can't even tell you, for sensor reason, I won't say the kind of stupid fetish that he had. So one day something happened and he kicked me out of his house that night. And I sat down and it was a moment of realization for me. So as usual, he kicked me out, then came and begged. So he said it was his demons that he was fighting. Well, clearly this person had a problem, but I didn't even realize. So that day when he kicked me out, I sat down. I called my friend. She couldn't let me into her house because she was even squatting in somebody's house. It was so bad for me. I had to be in the same hands of my abuser, like my emotional abuser. I was still there in that relationship, still there. And it was so sad. So I went to see my ex-boyfriend because he was the only one that would allow me to come in to his house. And he was nice. Like at this point, we're already friends. But something led to another again, and then something happened. So I just realized this is the kind of life. I felt like a harlot. I felt used. I felt stupid. I left that house that day. At this point, I was even struggling with finances. A lot of things were going on in my life that I could not bear to be alone. Like, it was like I was going through financial crisis. How do I want to stop to think about it? I was almost in my third year. And it was just by God's grace for me to graduate. So I was just like, the last thing I want to do is be by myself to go through this thing alone. I just need someone to help me. And then I remember that night, I left. I went to someone else's house, slept in his house. I was just petching around to different places. Then I went back to uni, to school. So that day I went to school. And right then, in the middle of my hostel, I had a dream, and in that dream, I dreamt that I wasn't going to get married. That was what the devil threw at me, that I was so far gone that I wasn't going to get married. So I woke up, I called my mom. I'm looking at the dream I had, see what happened. My mom was like, what are you saying? Can you renounce it? Don't let it happen. It was at that point that I knew that I needed, it wasn't the dream. It wasn't anything. It was just me that needed to find my way to Christ. I knelt down. And I broke down in the middle of my room and I surrendered to Christ.
Wow.
And I gave my life to Christ right there in the middle of my room. And I stood up. I was still struggling with going for altar call. Because I'm like, no, I'm not doing this again. But yeah, let me just cut the long story short. I gave my life to Christ. I became so in love with Jesus that professing him in front of everybody was the least of my worries, because I knew where I was coming from. For someone who had been suicidal, like, what wants to kill you?
Exactly.
So I walked up and I gave my life to Christ. And
so you first encountered God.
Before I went out.
Yourself, before you went out for the
interview. Because trust me, I had seen that, like, that wasn't the first time I had heard an altar call and I wanted to go out. Like, altar call will happen in and out. I'll not go. Good to say that, funny enough, when I was not born again, I was the orchestrator of church activities.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was even almost chapel prefect in school. I mentioned, like, I was very, very, very religious. I was very religious. I would pray. In fact, the only thing I know is, like, I'll read my Bible, pray. I even preach to people. But so much to know that.
Yeah.
Relationship is...
It's different when you have a relationship with God, when you're not just practicing religion.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Basically, your story is one of you trying to fill in that God-shaped void with every other thing but God until you came to God. Okay, so can just tell us about how... Okay, you've told us about how you came to Christ. What happened after that? Did your life miraculously change? Did you stop wanting boys, toxic ones? Did your life transform immediately after that?
Well, for me, like I said, the simplest thing you do is to give your life to Christ.
Yes.
It's easy. Like, it's so easy. Another thing was, for me, was being the kind of person I am, I'm very structured. I like my life to be a certain way. I define my life. Like, I felt like this is going to go like this. This is going to go like this. This, like, I orchestrate my life. So one of the things that was hard, or one of the things that God brought us together, was teaching me to let his will align.
Yeah.
Yes, just to let him, to be with him. So that was one of the things I learned. And for that to happen, God basically tore down so many walls around me. Like, there were walls around me. I had to go into isolation. There are times when I wasn't on social media anymore. I had to take a break from social media. I was still struggling because the devil was still bringing back my past. Like, I could not just delete all my friends like that.
Yeah.
I see her, like... The separation from my friends, I think, was the hardest but easiest process. Because, I mean, my friends that used to be my G's, my guys, changed from that to just acquaintances. And then I had to meet with a new set of friends. And it wasn't easy because there were so many times when I would walk in, my friends would be having a conversation, and I'll walk in and they'll be quiet because they knew that I was no longer into those things again.
Yeah.
It was not easy. Then sometimes... And when I come to them, they're like, I beg, I don't want to hear. Then I had to battle the part where most people thought it was just a phase that I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thinking, you get over it. Like, it's just, I heard so many people, sometimes people would tell me that I've been here. Like, older people would tell me, don't worry, you will calm down. Me too, I did this once. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like, it was, those kind of things were not encouraging. But for me, that was, I think most people can relate to this. That was it. But the struggle did not just go away. I mean, when it comes to relationships, I don't think at that point, nothing was fitting me. I was in love with Jesus, so I wasn't looking for any guy. Like, now that I think of it, I wasn't talking to any guy. I wasn't, even as a matter of fact, I was misbehaving with one guy in uni. Like, we're having flings in school. And people would not know this because I was very upright educationally. Like, I was that badass girl that she was hard to get, but I was doing things in the background. So I was making out with this guy in the night, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying this because, I mean, somebody will need to hear this story. So I was doing things with this guy, and one day, like, that was one of the greatest ones. Like, I was so remarkable. Like, I cut him off and I didn't look back when I cut him off. Like, I cut him off and...
After he became born again,
I cut him off. We stopped talking. We stopped having a conversation completely. See, when God steps into your life, there are things that will have to give way to those things. Like, that was one of the things that gave, like, a lot of things gave way. Some things were instantaneous. Some things happened over a long period. But this was that one, I think because it was a point of encounter, was something that just went.
Wow.
So I didn't date anybody again until after like 1 year after I became born again.
That's very, very insightful. In case you didn't get the memo, let me tell you what she said. First of all, after you become born again, there's this struggle of changing your circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something that is very essential. Exactly. Not, if you do not change your circle, if you go back to that same circle,
you
find yourself slipping back to the things exactly. that you used to do. So it's very, very necessary that I feel like, in fact, you don't have to struggle for it. God helps us to bring mm-hmm. people around you that will help your relationship exactly. with God, that will help you build your relationship with God.
As a matter of fact, I keep saying that one of the things that helped me when I became born again was association.
Yes.
Because God brought me around a group of girls that, I mean, we call ourselves Daughters of the King. It was so funny because we were girls that everybody knew our story. We're the movers and shakers of school, wow. hottest freshers, you know. Some of us had been identified by different things, but that period, like, many of us just gave our lives to Christ. Right. And it was funny because mm-hmm. we were not friends. We're different people scattered mm-hmm. around, mm-hmm. but we just came together. Like, it was a period of intense fellowship, if you know what that means. We had a group chat. That group chat sustained till after I graduated from uni. Till when I started working in NYSC, we used to fellowship nonstop.
Wow.
Like, God was so intentional. Like, that circle, because of the kind of person I am my struggle with people, like, you know, needing to be with somebody, sometimes God will turn those things that were even meant the devil used for bad, you turn it for good.
Yes.
So even me being with those people, he said, even though you have to be with people, let it be with the right ones.
People. Exactly.
So that was one thing that really helped me.
You know how I talk about how God knows each and every one of mm-hmm. us and understands our personality, and God knows how to relate with us mm-hmm. best. So whenever we get born again, God knows the right things to do and the right people to put in place in order to help us.
Exactly.
Well, basically, even the second thing you spoke about the guy, it was still about cutting off mm-hmm. relationships
mm-hmm. Exactly.
that are not fruitful, that do not glorify God. It's something that is difficult to do, but that's where submitting to Christ actually comes in.
And again, those guys could not deal with the person I was at
exactly.
that time. Because
exactly.
the truth is, whether you like it or not, you attract what you look like, or how do I put it? You attract the kind of person you are, will be the kind of people that will come around you. Mm-hmm. So those guys I was dating, they can't be with the woman I am right now.
Yes.
And they can't be with who, like, even they surrendered me, they could not deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them had to, even without me telling them, by the time they started seeing that this girl is carrying Jesus on her head,
exactly.
they had to, like,
nobody would tell them, they would be
back off. So,
and everything I learned from what you said was prioritizing your relationship with God above everything
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
What you said is that you're now in love with Jesus and you don't really care about every other thing. It's because of how much you fell in love with God, you didn't care about what other people were going to say, you did not care about any other thing.
Nothing,
truly,
like,
just God.
When I gave up sacrifices, there were things that I gave up. A lot of my friends were like, are you sure? I used to write, but I used to write a lot of erotic writings. I stopped writing for a whole 3 years or 2 years because I knew that, I used to call it my mind escape. So I used to write a lot of erotic stuff. I used to write depression stuff and stories. But the next time I wrote about Jesus.
Wow.
So I had to give up all the things I loved at the time just to allow God to redefine it.
Yeah. So, so far, tell us about your journey in this, your relationship with Christ. I know that we grow every day and then you're being transformed more and more every day. How has it been so far? What drives you now? What do you live your life for?
Mm.
How has your relationship with God been? Has it been all lovey-dovey and stuff?
Oh, dude. Well, see, before I say Jesus was my personal person when I was not born again, but now I can say it more that Jesus is my personal person. How I mean that is because with Jesus, you can't fall out of your relationship with him.
Yes.
But you need to be intentional about your relationship with him. So one major thing about me being born again right now is the fact that, like, now I said, my whole world, Jesus is not just my life. He's not just, like, a segment of my life.
Yeah.
He is at the center of my life. So he's there and every other thing revolves around him. So, like I said, there are so many walls that he has had to tear down for me too. So right now, is the journey smooth and sail? would I say that? I don't think there's any journey. Even God himself said that the storm will come. Like, there was no point where there was no storm. To be honest, there are seasons. I classify my life in seasons. So there are seasons where I'm learning things and there are seasons when I'm unlearning things. And one beautiful thing about my life being born again right now is that one thing that God did was expose my weaknesses.
Yeah.
There are so many things that I would never agree that I was. Like, I would never claim or say, like people would say with my chest that mm-hmm. own up to. And one thing God has given me is a broken spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times when he reveals them to me, I don't hold on to them. I repent from them immediately. Yeah. So there are things where, you know, I struggle with, I used to struggle with having a hard heart. Like, I never used to say, I'm sorry. I never used to say, like, own up to my mistakes.
Yeah.
Now is the easiest thing for me to do.
Yeah.
Like, owning up and saying, I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry. It just comes to me naturally. That's one thing he learned, but it took a lot before I got there, because there are so many things I had to unlearn, and that includes, and another thing is forgiving myself, because you cannot forgive. I hated myself for a very long time. I suffered self-hate. I hated myself. I hated what I looked like. I not appreciate myself. A lot of people see you and think you look beautiful. I thought, only if this could be better, maybe I'll be this. Only if this could be better, maybe if I was smarter. So God helped me realize that, you know, that's one thing. But the journey, season in and out, has been tough. There are times when I've fallen down. Like, I can't say I haven't fallen down. I have fallen down. But the gracious and most amazing thing is that there's no time I've fallen down and stayed there. Like, I keep moving. Like, when I fall down, it's like the Holy Spirit is dragging me up. Keep moving. Like, I just do not stop. I don't want anybody to have the idea that a Christian life is a perfect life or a life without anything, but it's just a life where you just keep moving and not relying on my strengths. So, yeah.
This session went by so fast, and you've said so many things in very few minutes. I'm very, very glad. One other thing that stands out about your story is how you struggled with your mental health. Like, and then now all of a sudden you're now a mental health advocate and everything, and that just proves how much God uses what the enemy meant for evil and how he turns it around for our good. Because I'm sure you never knew that, okay, now you're going to be helping people that struggle with the same thing that you struggled with. And it's just amazing how God does that, because I'm sure outside Christ, we do not have any purpose. And it's coming into Christ that you now discovered purpose, and then you started to
Walk in it. True. And the good thing is that when it wasn't at the point I gave my, you know, a lot of people feel like you give your life to Christ, bam, like everything fixes itself.
Nah.
It took me 2 whole years after I gave my life to Christ to come into purpose, like to work in what people call purpose. Because I believe the minute you're in Christ already, you're like already working in purpose. But
yeah,
for what the world thinks like is purpose,
quote unquote.
Yes, my assignment, exactly. It took me 2 years to start. Like, God had to make me discover some things. And even that process was me doing a lot of learning. There are so many times, I haven't said this anywhere, but I was sexually harassed. I was abused. So even when that thing happened, like, I felt like there was a reason why it happened. It's not like God allowed it to happen. But if it happened, there was actually something to be turned into good for it to happen.
Yeah.
So even when I started to speak to people who were molested or people who were raped, I wasn't just speaking to them from a point of, you know, what I've heard or seen. Now when I talk to people, I talk to them from a standpoint of what I've been through. I don't just tell them, when I say someone is suicidal and I say, oh, don't commit suicide, don't do this, why do you want to kill yourself? I know where I have been. I know what it means to be in a dark place. Mm-hmm. I know what it means to just not want to be with anybody, just want to lock yourself up. In fact, as a matter of fact, it has even helped me with my mental health right now, because there are times when the devil tries to throw things at me, but I remember, like, even the words that I just to resonate. So yeah, it's amazing that God just turned that three around. Just give me. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Amaka. I have no other words. I have no other questions because you've literally said a lot, and I'm just going to leave people to feed on all of this that you've said today. Mm-hmm. So, just like that, we've come to the end of today's episode. If you want to reach out to our guest speaker for today, her Instagram is Bella34.
Bella E34.
Just that. And then she also has a podcast
where
she talks about mental health. What's the name of your podcast?
Giving Mental Health a Voice.
Giving Mental Health a Voice. So you can check her podcast out. You can follow her, reach out to her if you like. Still same me. I haven't changed. My name is Anna Obisayo. And you can follow me on Instagram at Annointed. That is Ann with an E dot ointed. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. God bless you. See you next time. Bye-bye.